Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. Must be physically located in North Carolina. T&Cs apply.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
From unsolved mysteries to unexplained phenomena, from comedy gold to relationship fails, Amazon Music's got the most ad-free top podcasts. Included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Rolling into hour two tonight, I am Gresham for JR with you here on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You can always get a hold of me on social media. Follow me YouTube channel at The Real Gresh. That's where you can get me on Instagram, on the Tick and the Talk, and on X or Twitter, whatever you call it. I don't care. Just follow me. That's all I care about. Whatever you call it is fine with me. We'll talk Green Bay Packers coming up in 20 minutes from now. But week three of college football is a heavy one. When you look at some of the big matchups coming up this weekend, that includes Florida at number three, LSU. LSU, 9.5-point favorites hosting Florida. LSU is 4-1 against the spread in the last five meetings against Florida. And Florida, as at least a 7-point underdog under Billy Napier, they are 7-4 against the number, but they are 1-10 straight up. The only win in their last game in that role was Florida plus 13.5 against Ole Miss last season. So Napier, not good as a big dog, 1-10 straight up. Holy cow. The team that has taken college football by storm, arguably, are the South Florida Bulls. They upset Florida as an 18.5-point underdog in the that was last week, and then in the season opener, South Florida upset Boise as a 5.5-point underdog. And they didn't just, you know, they didn't just win. They won in impressive fashion. First team to start 2-0 despite being at least 5-point underdogs in both games since 2020 when Colorado did it. South Florida has done a really good job. They're 11-2 against the spread against ranked teams since 2021, including 4-1 ATS under Alex Golish. South Florida is 9-3 ATS in non-conference games under Alex Golish. Now, Miami has covered four straight, so South Florida, arguably with their best challenge so far in taking on the Miami Hurricanes, where the Hurricanes are a 17.5-point favorite. Here we go, some good old SEC action. It's on ABC now. We got number 6, Georgia, minus 3.5, and number 15, Tennessee. Georgia has covered 6 straight against Tennessee. Georgia 2-11 against the spread as a favorite since the start of last season. And Tennessee is 10-27-1 against the spread against top 10 teams since 2010. 3-5 under Josh Heupel. How about this? Against ranked teams, Kirby Smart and Georgia are 33-19-1 against the spread, and the number is almost similar for unders in those games. So Georgia 33-19-1 against the spread against ranked teams under Kirby Smart. Unders are 32-20-1 in those games. And Georgia is 17-8 ATS against ranked teams. You have number 16, Texas A&M, at number 8, Notre Dame. Notre Dame is 7-0 against the spread in the last seven coming up or after a bye. Notre Dame is 29-15 ATS under Marcus Freeman. And Freeman and his team are 6.5-point favorites at home against Texas A&M. Now, in terms of the gambling end, right, Mike Elko and Texas A&M, I'm not anti-Mike Elko. Texas A&M is 3-12 against the spread under Elko, the second worst mark in FBS in that span. Only Middle Tennessee is worse. And under Elko, Texas A&M is 1-5 against the spread as underdogs. Wow. Some pretty eye-opening trends there in some of the biggest games of the weekend in college football. The number one team in all the land will be hosting Ohio. Ohio State is a big 32.5-point favorite in that one. Ohio State, as favorites of at least 21 or more under Ryan Day, are 21-14-1 against the number as three touchdown favorites. Think of that for a moment. How good Ohio State has been that they've been three touchdown favorites that many times is pretty crazy when you think about it. Oregon is at Northwestern. I should have looked this up. Is this in the new Northwestern Football Stadium? I should have looked this up before. Let's see here. Yeah, so it's not going to be ready until 2026. So they are. So I guess they're going to play at Ryan Field in Evanston, Illinois. No, it says Ryan Field is the one that they're remodeling there. So. I know in Oregon they're writing about number 4 Oregon preparing for Martin Stadium, which is right there on the water, and it's being called a unique experience. Here's it's written. Lake Michigan is the backdrop to Northwestern's 12,023-seat Martin Stadium, the temporary home of the Wildcats, while the new $862 million Ryan Field is being built. Good Lord. The Ducks have not played in a stadium anywhere near as small as they will be on Saturday. Resser Stadium's 28,840 in 2022 when the west side of the stadium was under construction. Being the next smallest crowd, Oregon has played in front of. Until the NCAA eliminated the attendance requirements in 2023, schools previously needed to average 15,000 paid attendance to maintain FBS membership. Such a setting was not even permissible. Let me tell you, I have, until this year, I've called UMass football games on television, and I don't even know in all the home games that I've called, if they would hit 28,840. I'm really serious. So, it's a unique look for Oregon, no question. But the Ducks are really good, and they're almost 28-point favorites. NC State, -7.5 at Wake Forest. That was last night with NC State winning. You have Colorado at Houston. That is tonight at 7:30. Coming up on ESPN, all seven Houston home games under Willie Fritz have gone under the total. For those who don't recognize or know the name Willie Fritz, he was the guy who really brought Tulane back in the American Athletic Conference and then now jumps to Houston. If I'm not mistaken, Willie Fritz was a successful Division II coach. And then went to another program and then ended up at Tulane. And now he's at Houston and just one of those guys who was maybe destined for a job like that, but did a good job originally of bringing Tulane back. UTEP is at number 7, Texas. Texas has covered 4 straight meetings against UTEP. This is a huge number. That is Saturday on the SEC Network at 4:15. It'll be interesting to see what Arch Manning does here. Texas is a 41.5-point favorite, so I would assume that whatever goes good for Arch is going to be poo-pooed because of that number. That's my best guess. Western Michigan is at number 9, Illinois. Vanderbilt is at South Carolina. Another SEC game there. South Carolina 8-1-1 against the spread in the last 10 meetings against Vandy. We got number 12, Clemson at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech 6 wins as at least a 9-point underdog or the most in FBS. All under Brent Key. 6-8 outright, 9-5 ATS. So this could be at least a little upset watch, given the history of Georgia Tech under Brent Key. Oklahoma is a 24.5-point favorite at Temple. Temple stinks against ranked teams. 0-6 ATS against ranked teams since 2020. And can John Mateer continue his, I think, what is turning into a Heisman challenging campaign? I really do. And Oklahoma's going to smack Temple, in my opinion. You have Iowa State at Arkansas State. Iowa State -20.5. Got to love the fighting Rocco Becks, who are already 2-0 against the spread this season, covering by 13.5 points. Another SEC battle. Arkansas is at number 17, Ole Miss. Arkansas has been very competitive, especially against the spread. 10-2 ATS in the last 12 meetings against Ole Miss. We have now the team that bounced back maybe the best last week, who I still think their coach is in some trouble. Wisconsin is at number 19, Alabama. Kalen DeBoer is at least 11-5 against the spread as a favorite of at least 20 points in his career. Only 3-2, though, with Alabama. Luke Fickell, that's a guy that is going to, I think, have Wisconsin about as ready as they can be for this moment going into Alabama, who they don't look right. Let's see what happens against Wisconsin, right? Last week, one could argue last week, 73-0, fine, there's your get right. There's your blowout. There's your, hey, from Kalen DeBoer. Everybody shut the hell up. to now dealing with a team out of the Big Ten. And the Lord knows that for those who follow SEC football and for those who follow Big Ten football, that these two teams or the two of these teams are coming from conferences where they're looking for more automatic bids. So at least here we go. At least we're getting a Big Ten SEC battle with Wisconsin and Alabama. Utah is minus 23.5 at Wyoming. And then we have Oregon State at Texas Tech. So we did have a shakeup in the AP poll. We also had some big scoring last weekend. Seven top 25 teams scored at least 60 points, the most on a single day in the AP poll era. Four top 25 teams scored 70 or more, tied for the most in a single day in the AP poll era. And three teams in last week's AP top 10 dropped this week. Georgia sliding from 4 to 6, South Carolina and Clemson out of the top 10 after relatively pedestrian wins. South Florida, as I mentioned earlier, they're 18 in the country. They are the highest ranked newcomer. First time the Bulls have been ranked since October of 2018. That is, I think, even pre-Skip Holtz, for crying out loud. Auburn and Missouri ended up getting into the rankings, giving the SEC 11 teams in this week's top 25. Well, at least they're going to start to beat each other up. And it's the first time that Auburn has been in the top 25 since November of 2021. So this is the first week since then. So you got to go all the way back to November 2021 when both Alabama and Auburn were ranked in the same poll. We have that right now. I'm sure that we will get the insufferable calls from SEC fans along the way during the season at 888-710-4ISN. Gresh in for JR tonight. I started the show talking about the Packers, and they look like a team who might have something special brewing. We'll go to Green Bay and talk about the Packers next. I am Gresh in for JR here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in North Carolina. TNC supply in app only.
At North Carolina's Crystal Coast, you might have the same vacation plans. Hit the beach, find some good seafood, explore a little. But when there's actually room to roam and space to spread out, when there are endless ways to make each vacation yours, countless activities, a photo opportunity at every turn, when every breathtaking view belongs to you, it might be the same vacation plans, sure, but the feeling is much different. Visit crystalcoastnc.com/booking to book your next unforgettable getaway.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's Gresh.
Boy, what a difference a couple of weeks make. You go trade for one of the best defenders in the NFL. It energizes your football team. And now you're sitting there at 2-0. And I'm wondering, should I be taking the cheese on the Green Bay Packers? Because they look like a team about to go on a run. Let's talk about the Packers. Joining me now, covers the pack for USA Today, Ryan Wood, is with Gresh here on the Infinity Sports Network. Ryan, good evening. How are you?
Doing well. Looking forward to seeing some other teams play this week, and obviously the Packers on their mini bye. But my goodness, what we just saw in Green Bay was awfully impressive.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ryan, like ever since Micah Parsons got there, how has that changed things? It's translated on the field, but really off the field as well. It feels like this team has kind of found their mojo, and getting Parsons has added some juice to this club. Tell me about it.
You know, there's a moment I was standing in the locker room last night at Lambeau Field, and Micah Parsons was asked something that I hadn't even registered yet, because I'm on deadline. I'm just thinking what I'm going to write. He's asked, it was 2 weeks ago today that you were traded.
Wow.
It's unbelievable just how quick things can change in this league, isn't it? In 2 weeks, the Packers went from a team that expected to be good. They expect to be in the playoffs again, made the playoffs the last 2 years. They believe they have a quarterback. They believe that they had a pretty salty defense from last year. But a team that last season was 1-5 in the division, a team that lost all six games they played against the Eagles, the Lions, and the Vikings. All six. Two of those by double digits. From that to what we just saw the last 5 days, which is a team that just they didn't just beat the Lions and the Commanders. They won by a combined score of 54-31. Mm-hmm. They won after getting out to a 27-6 lead against the Lions. They won after getting out to a 27-10 lead against Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. And if you subscribe, as I still do, that the Lions and Commanders are pretty good. I mean, talking about the two-time reigning NFC North champ and last year's conference runner-up, those were not even ball games. We took them out immediately. And this is just the start. Micah Parsons didn't have a training camp. He's got 80 snaps in those two games and is still ramping up. You have to wonder how good this team can eventually be once the pieces are not just in place, but have had some time to gel.
Yeah, Ryan, I was working in Boston when Jeff Hafley up and left Boston College and went to the Green Bay Packers as defensive coordinator. And privately, he was really citing like, oh, it's just a cesspool. It's getting worse. So now all the guy has to worry about is the football. What does Micah Parsons allow Jeff Hafley to do defensively that could really change things for the Packers this season?
He's a talent whose production is only matched by his versatility. So last night you saw Micah Parsons line up as left and right end. You saw him as a defensive tackle with his hand to the ground on the interior. You saw him as a linebacker standing up over the A or B gap. He plays four different positions at a very high level. And so when you have not just Jeff Hafley, the creativity that he had to rely on that last year, the Packers went into last season thinking that they were just going to rush four, drop seven in coverage, and that was going to be their blueprint. They found out very quickly they could not do that consistently enough. So how did they still finish top 10 in the league in sacks? Jeff Hafley dialed up a lot of blitz game. I mean, he is a very creative defensive mind with the game. That is how they got by last year. Now you put a Micah Parsons in this defense. You have Edrin Cooper in his second year. You've got a Xavier McKinney on the back end. You have elite talent at all levels, a lot of versatile pieces. All three of those guys can do a lot of different things on the football field. So you put them together, I think we're just seeing the very surface of what that could mean long term. It's a lot of kind of proverbial queens on the chessboard, a lot of moving parts that could do a lot of different things. And when you have synchronicity with that, it can get awfully scary.
How is Jordan Love different than the past couple of seasons, Ryan?
Healthy. I think you saw that last night early in the game where he flushes right. He notices, I think it was a third down, he notices a patch of green grass, and he takes off, and he knows that Commander's corner, Trey Amos, is going to meet him before the sticks, and he just lowers his shoulder and plows right through the defender, right through the he delivers the boom and absolutely lays out Trey Amos. That is a play that Jordan Love could not make at any point last year. He sprains his MCL week one in Brazil against the Eagles, misses the next two games. By week seven, he's still dealing with the knee, and then he pulls his groin. So that's another couple months of dealing with the soft tissue injury.
Oh, man. And
he was never healthy last year. He is now. He can not only run, but his first two games against the Lions, his passer rating is 128. Against the Commanders, it's 113. That's the second time in the past three seasons as a starting quarterback that he's opened with two games with pass rating of at least 110 to start the season. In 18 seasons in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers did that twice.
Wow.
Three times. The last time was 2015. Three times he in 18 seasons, Aaron Rodgers opened with two games of a passer rating of at least 110. Last time in 2015, he had more MVPs than he had season starts like that. Jordan Love's done that twice now in three seasons. Now he's got to sustain that, but it gives you an idea of not just how high of a level Jordan Love is playing at. He's taking care of the football. He's making plays down the field, but also how rare that is.
Ryan, does Aaron Rodgers even matter to Packer fans anymore?
I think for Packers fans, it's a lot like a relationship from your past that there was a lot of good times. You're always appreciated, but you don't necessarily miss because you moved on. Mm-hmm. Right. You're caught up in the present while maybe still appreciating the past. I think that's where Packers fans are. They certainly had a lot of great years with Aaron Rodgers. There will always be disappointment that there was only one Super Bowl appearance, but he had a lot of MVP seasons, a lot of memories along the way. Nobody in Packer Nation is hung up on who the quarterback is now for the Steelers. There's nothing but excitement for what is it here in the present day.
How would you describe fans right now of the Green Bay Packers? This is not, you know, this is not a Johnny come lately kind of fan base, in my opinion. These are people who know if they see a good thing and know if they see a bad thing. How would you describe the feeling among Packer fans right now?
I think that there is cautious optimism, and that is usually the case. What's different now is it's probably difficult to be cautious with that optimism. This is a fan base that has been treated really well by the football gods over the decades, right? They have had a lot of great seasons. It's also a fan base that since 2014 has been to the NFC Championship game four times and lost all four. So there's an understanding of, okay, September's great and appreciate every game. It's not baseball. There's not 162. I mean, this is football and every week is significant, but at the end of the day, it's about January and you hope February, right? It's about what happens down the stretch. Because what might look good in September doesn't necessarily portend to what will be late in the year. With that said, if you're a Packers fan and you just watch that, how are you not thinking, oh my God, this is the best team in the league. It's a generational defense. It's just the beginning. And, you know, how do you not let your mind go there? Because it'd be one thing if the Packers were 2-0 right now and they started with wins over their next two opponents, Cleveland Browns and Dallas Cowboys, right? Okay, well, those are two solid wins, but yeah, let's see what happens when the cream of the crop comes. Well, the cream of the crop in the NFC outside of Philadelphia is supposed to be the team that lost to Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game last year, the Washington Commanders, and the team that won the NFC North the last 2 years, the Detroit Lions. That's the cream of the crop. You just saw that test. So I think that, yeah, the Packers, think about this. They are going to be favored in a whole lot of games coming
up. Yeah.
I mean, for them to do what they just did against these two opponents and then the schedule ahead, it's going to be weeks on end that they are favored to win every game. And how far that goes, we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Ryan Wood of USA Today covers the Packers. Ryan, thanks for the breakdown. Really appreciate it. Hopefully we do it again sooner than later. Thank you.
Anytime. Take care.
There we go. Packers are 2-0 for the third time under Matt LaFleur. They won 27-18 last night over the Commanders. And remember, the last two times they started 2-0 in 2019 and 2020, the Packers went all the way to the NFC Championship game. Let's get updated on everything in the world of sports. There is so much going on this weekend and tonight in particular. Here's Rich Ackerman.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in North Carolina. TNC supply in app only.
At North Carolina's Crystal Coast, you might have the same vacation plans. Hit the beach, find some good seafood, explore a little. But when there's actually room to roam and space to spread out, when there are endless ways to make each vacation yours, countless activities, a photo opportunity at every turn, when every breathtaking view belongs to you, it might be the same vacation plans, sure, but the feeling is much different. Visit crystalcoastnc.com/booking to book your next unforgettable getaway.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's Gresh.
Portion of the show brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. I will be, I'm sure, using them someday. My olds are in South Carolina, 74 and 71 in less than a month. And apparently my mom and dad went through like doing a will and stuff like that the other day. And I got the, hey, do you know about this timeshare thing? And I said, am I going to have to go get a lawyer to get out of it? And my brother who was on the call goes, yes. And I'm like, God damn, what are you doing? But that Wesley Financial does a good job. I got to tell you, I had in my house, I don't know what it's like at your place, right? But in my house, so it's me, my wife, and one of our two boys. Now, these are my stepkids. When I met my wife, the boys were 7 and 5. One is 23. He's a professional caddy, and he's up here for his summer run in New England, for caddying at a country club right down the road from our house. And then from November to like April, he'll be in Florida, and the course that he works at in Florida, They shut down in the summer because it's too hot to play down there. Okay, fine. But normally I'm the cook. Well, I was predisposed this evening with actually having to work, so I didn't leave anything like on the stove. My one kid's pretty picky. He doesn't like stuff out of the slow cooker, which just kills me. Because I like covered and smothered chicken in the slow cooker or a pot roast that's been like just sitting away all day. But normally I'm the chef, and tonight being busy, my wife actually, my wife ended up handling dinner and just brought me some, and I scarfed it down like I was going to the electric chair, I'll be honest with you. I have a sneeze coming, by the way. I apologize. Or at least I thought there it is. Excuse me. Thank you. Bless me, America. I bless you. No, she took care of it tonight. And like, I housed it. And normally that doesn't happen. So I'm sure for the dudes like me out there across America, right? I'm sure there are dudes like me across America who are like, yeah, that doesn't happen very often. Yeah, I take advantage of getting doted on a little steak fried rice. Always down with that. I always wonder what people consider different kinds of foods, meaning there's a difference between like Korean barbecue and Chinese food and then sushi. Like, but does that, but I don't know, America. You can hit me up on Twitter at The Real Gresh, G-R-E-S-H. But is that like kind of all count under one umbrella as like Asian food, let's say? And then you would, you know, go your different way depending on what you want? Like, I never thought, I never thought at 50 years old, I would really love sushi the way I do. And I don't like all kinds. I'm not eating nothing with eel, and I'm not an avocado person or anything like that. You want to give me a little crunchy tuna roll, I'll probably eat about 10 of those things if you put them in front of me, because they're just so freaking good. And when you go to the sushi place and you go out and they come out with like what looks like a table size portion of sushi. Ah, fantastic. Fantastic. But anyway, thank you to my wife Betty for feeding me for once instead of the other way around, where I'm the one cooking and getting everything ready for everybody. Major League Baseball is trying to get ready for the playoffs. Now, Ryan in New York, I don't know what side of the street you're on, like Mets or Yankees.
Mets, it's so over.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to get to. Because like a week and a half ago, things were looking up. What was it, like 2 weeks ago, there was that sweep of the Phillies, if I'm not mistaken. And now it's just gone downhill very quickly. What has happened to the Mets, who 2 weeks ago felt like they were in pretty secure position here, Ryan?
Lack of starting pitching, to say the least, because when you look at it, you're relying heavily on three dudes who are in their first year and first month in the MLB to go out there and pitch arguably six innings strong each night.
Yeah.
Because one of the lead acquisitions you got at the trade deadline, Ryan Helsley, is basically unusable. And everyone who's been solid to start the year is bad. The only person that's really reliable is Edwin Diaz.
Oh, I was going to say, I know that coming out of the trade deadline, I thought that the Mets had built a pretty good bullpen, but yet it still feels like it's really Edwin Diaz back there. And then you're sort of patchworking it all together, you know, swept by the Phillies in, I guess you would say, embarrassing fashion. Now on the six-game losing streak, they get the Texas Rangers. And it's crazy how at the deadline, I think we looked at certain teams coming away as winners. And I felt, given what they did to their bullpen, the Mets were one of the teams that was coming away a winner at the trade deadline. And listen, all's not lost. They're still in position of holding on to the wild card. It's just that number has shrunk dramatically. But if you really look at who's behind the Mets, that's the best thing going for them right now. And I know that it was kind of the same a couple weeks ago, where the Mets were the number three wild card, but the lead was a little bigger. I mean, do you really think that the Giants are going to continue to play good baseball? 7-3 in their last 10. They're now back over 500. And when the Giants went out and got Rafael Devers, you thought, okay, they're going to be a real player in the National League. No, not really. And if you're the Mets, I guess really you take comfort in that the teams that are behind you are the Giants, the Reds, the Diamondbacks, and the Cardinals. What are they? Mid. Giants have 74 wins. The Cardinals have 75 losses. So those are really the teams that are chasing the Mets right now. So even now, listen, if the Mets keep losing, then clearly they can, you know, play their way out of the position that they're in. But somebody also has to play their way into that position. And for the Mets the rest of the way, they get Texas, then they get San Diego, then they got Washington, then they got the Cubs, where, you know, will the Mets and the Cubs, by the time that series comes around, what, September 23rd, 24th, 25th, will they be sitting there saying, nah, we really don't have to play hard against each other because our fates are sealed? Meaning both are going to the playoffs, and then it's Miami at the end of the year for the Mets. So not even any head-to-head battles with the Giants, the Reds, or the Cardinals, or anybody like that. I know they just did play Cincinnati and lost 2 out of 3. Did the Mets, but New York baseball has been very interesting this year, and I know for a lot of seam heads, for a lot of people who absolutely love the grand old game, they really think, or there are a lot of people who do think, that the success of a Major League Baseball season is in some way, shape, or form tied into the city of New York, whether somebody can make a run, whether somebody can go to the World Series, or, you know, there are a lot of people, and again, I've been doing sports talk for almost 30 years. There are a lot of people who definitely subscribe to that theory of the Yankees or the Mets are good, then, you know, Major League Baseball is going to have a good season. I don't know if I subscribe to that, but nevertheless. So as it kind of stands right now, it is Cubs, Padres, Mets that are going to be the wild card teams. And in the American League, you have the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Astros. Now, here's something that for me, I am wildly interested in. My prediction is we're getting Red Sox, Yankees in a wild card round. Is there still the aggravation, the anger, the angst? I know it's not like it used to be with Red Sox, Yankees. I know it isn't. I get that. I wouldn't even sit here and ask you that. But a lot like the mean streets on Twitter, how nasty is it really going to be between the Red Sox and the Yankees and their fans? Because let's be real, I don't think even in the mid to late 90s and the early 2000s, I'm not saying there's not a love lost. There's not a lot of love lost. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think they hated each other. I think fans, that's where the rhetoric really was. That's where the true, like, anger fan to fan. It was really with the Red Sox and the Yankees. And you didn't see it get that nasty really anywhere else. Now, look, the Red Sox have won a bunch of World Series, so can't weaponize the whole World Series thing against them. And now it's turned into, well, you haven't won one in this long, and you haven't won one in this long. So I just really wonder how much natural appetite there is amongst baseball fans for a series between the Red Sox and the Yankees. Haven't seen it very often, and I just think fans are at a little bit of a different place now with both of these teams. But I also think fans nationally, if we're going to be fair about it, ESPN went Red Sox-Yankees literally every chance they could have, felt like, over the last 10 to 15 years. And if you are a fan in, you know, Walla Walla, Washington, or a Des Moines, Iowa, you might kind of roll your eyes and just be like, oh, God, it's more Red Sox Yankees. A, this would be playoffs, and B, it's not really shoving it down your throat. I feel like when it's, you know, the next three Sunday night baseballs are all Red Sox Yankees at 8 p.m. It's like, wait a minute, how in the world can that happen? It feels like it's on national television constantly all the time. We'll get into the National Football League. One more guest to go tonight. Jason Lockenfour will join us at 9 Eastern, but how about we talk some football next?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in North Carolina. TNC Supply, in-app only.